from verse 97 to 112 of Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end.
God is good. All the time. Hallelujah. You've got your outlines there. There's some things to fill in. If you've got a pen or a biro or something, if you haven't, you've just got to have a good memory. But I won't be here next week, so you won't have to answer it. A lawyer, a doctor, and a preacher went deer hunting together, and along came a big buck. The three of them all shot at the same time. And immediately the buck dropped to the ground. They all rushed up to examine the deer, but they couldn't determine who shot the deer of the three of them. And they were in the middle of a very heated argument when a game warden came by and asked what the problem was. The doctor told him that they were debating who shot the buck. The warden took one look at the buck and immediately pronounced, "The preacher shot the buck." They all wondered how he knew that so quickly. To which the warden said, "The bullet went in one ear and out the other." Now you make sure you listen. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Amy Carmichael once said, "Never let good books take the place of the Bible. Drink from the well, not from the streams that flow from the well." The foundation stone, dear friends, was laid at this church on the 3rd of September 1966 and was officially opened on the 3rd of May 1967. And the foundation stone says, "This church was open for the worship of God and the preaching of God's word." Because the word of God has been preached ever since those foundation stones were laid, this church is still going, and it's going strong. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Bible says, "The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." C.H. Spurgeon, Paul mentioned him last week, C.H. Spurgeon said, "I would recommend you either believe the Bible up to the hilt or not believe it at all. Believe this book of God, every letter of it, or else reject it. There's no middle ground." He says there's no logical standing place between the two. You either believe the Bible or you reject it. So why should we believe it? As that video clip said in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Bible says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Dear friends, the Bible has the instruction for every difficulty that comes into our lives. It gives us comfort in every trouble. It gives us guidance in all the confusions, and boy, are they going on at the moment. So firstly, write this down. The Word eliminates the darkness. The Word eliminates the darkness. And our text today, Psalm 119, verse 105, is, your Word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Dear friends, as we walk this road of life, we often get led into areas of darkness. If we go into these areas of darkness without any light, we will stumble. If we go outside at our house at night, what do? Turn the light on so we can see where we're going. We don't want to fall. And no doubt, those who caught the vision to start this church, this Baptist church here in Lismore, they were reminded of God's word through the words of Jesus. In Matthew 16, verse 18, the Bible says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Praise God. In biblical days, there are no street lights. No special footpaths to walk on. Many times in the darkness, you could easily fall into an open sewer or very muddy patches. You didn't know what you were going to strike because there's no given walkways. The only means of light was an old lantern or a torch, a flaming torch. And these lamps didn't show off a very great light, but showed you the way. And dear friends, as this church started, not one of those people knew what lay ahead. But they believed the God of this book, the Bible, that He was a faithful God, that He would help them overcome whatever obstacles would come, so that His church could be built in this place, and it is still going on. No doubt many times they would have been discouraged. The devil would have discouraged them many times. He would have thrown everything at them. Say, oh, wasting your time. You're wasting your time. But they trusted God. They trusted in His word to see them through. And they accomplished it. We need, dear friends, God's word as much today as they did those who started this church many years ago. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Our text says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. And as I said, there's no street lights in those days. And the lamp had to be held very low to the ground. And you would sort of go along like this, taking each step, wondering what was going to be in front of you. You couldn't just rush ahead. You had to have the lamp down low. And there were many dangerous holes and muddy patches and stones on the road that you were going on, and you didn't know. And this little lamp that was close to the ground kept you going step by step so you wouldn't fall. God's word is our lamp. It gives us direction that our feet should take. We need it in our hearts so that we don't stumble along this road of life, which can be very difficult at times. And the study of God's word will give us all a greater knowledge than any science or any art or any language. People will study to achieve great heights and get many degrees in business or whatever. But the greatest knowledge, dear friends, to have is to know the Savior of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. To have the knowledge that we'll have eternal life through the Lord Jesus. That's a greater knowledge than any degree. Psalm 119, verses 99 and 100 from the Amplified Bible. Look what it says. I have better understanding and deeper insight than all my teachers, because your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I keep your precepts, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying them. What good is a person's eyesight in a very dark street? If there's no light, you still can't see. And you're going to fall over the first obstacle that you come to. But dear friends, every one of us is in danger of being tripped up by the evil one, the Satan. He tempts us in many different ways. And without God's word to guide us in our daily walk, how will we know if we're on the right path? Satan will continually confirm to us, well, you're doing well. Yeah, God loves what you're doing. Go on this path, this one. But we remember who he is. John 8:44, the Bible says, and Jesus speaking, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. This is the devil. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So if he says, God says, oh yeah, you're doing a good job, but go this way, and it's contrary to God's word, you're going on the wrong path. We need a lamp, and a lamp that will show us that Satan is an evil one and his evil ways, and the only way is the word of God, to follow it. So secondly, write this down. The word guides our course of life. The word guides our course of life. Our text says, a light on my path. We've done with the lamp, now we've got a light on our path. The lamp is for guidance through darkness. The light is the guidance through the day. We need the Word of God as our guide 24 hours a day. A person can see by natural light. He or she thinks that by day, we're okay. We can get through the day without really worrying about God and trusting in all that, what the Bible says. You know, I can see the obstacles. I can see the potholes. I'll be okay, but human life, dear friends, is full of peril. Every person is in danger if we don't keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We never know what the future holds. Many things can lead us astray, even though we might think they're okay. Even during the day when we think we can handle everything on our own, we can still be tripped up. We had such blessing by the way God's worked all this out for us. And yesterday, at the back of our house, and it's all been paid for now, the tap blew up. The water main. I thought, oh, no. And I went over Bunnings, good old Bunnings, and bought a tap and got it all fixed up. And I thought, oh, devil, I'm still here, you know. Even though God's given you all this, I'm still here. I'm going to cause trouble if I can. But God overrode him. A light on my path. The word path here means the course of our life. Our general choice of the way that we will go. And dear friends, we can so easily go the wrong path. Proverbs 1:15 and 16. Look what the Bible warns. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. We are told in our verse in Psalms to make sure that God's word lights up our path during the day. The lamp is there for night. It's our whole course of life. And if we can so easily wander off and be caught up by the devil's snare, it's something that we should treasure the Bible, dear friends. Not to be stored away and gathered in dust or bring it out maybe on Sunday. But we are to read it and digest it. And it should be displayed in our daily walk with God. In France, there was once a blind girl who obtained a gospel of Mark in raised letters. And she learned to read it by the tips of her fingers. She was so excited. And she only had the one gospel of Mark. And by constant reading, her fingers' tips become so hardened and her sense of touch diminished that she could no longer distinguish the characters. And one day she cut the skin off her fingers to increase her sensitivity so she could read her beloved book, the Gospel of Mark, only to lose it altogether. And she did not want to give up her beloved book of Mark's Gospel. And weeping, she pressed it to her lips, saying, "Farewell, farewell, sweet word of my heavenly Father." To her surprise, her lips were more delicate than her fingers, and she could understand every word. She went over the book all that night, held it to her lips. What a love for God's word. How it guided her feet as a lamp, not able to see with her eyes, but able to see with the precious word touching her lips. It was a light for her path. Her pathway was a pathway that was leading on to her glory in heaven. And dear friends, the challenge for us here this morning as we commence a new year is, do you and I have the love for God's word as that girl had? Thirdly, write this down. The word is choice food. The word is choice food. I love food. I don't know about you, but I love food. But the word of God is choice food. Psalm 119, verse 103 says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." As the psalmist takes in the word of God, it's his pleasure in reading it. Dear friends, there's a delight in knowing that we have a sure guide in life. There's a relief in knowing that we're not left to wander alone. We have God's word with us. Martin Luther made this statement one day, "I have made this covenant with my Lord that I should neither ask him for visions, nor for angels, nor for miracles, but I would be satisfied with his own word, the Bible. And if I might lay hold upon Scripture by faith, that shall be enough for me." The psalmist who wrote these words in Psalm 103, whoever it might be, because we're not told who wrote Psalms, the Psalm 119, whoever it might be, thought on similar lines. The honey that he tasted that satisfied his soul was not found in angels, visits or miraculous signs or priesthoods or special revelations, which were common in those days. The honey came from the words of God's mouth. Many Christians today are always seeking for new experiences, some static experience or some new revelation or signs and wonders, when what they really need to do is saturate themselves in the Word of God. Psalmist exclaimed, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Now, he most likely would have only had the writer of the Psalms, whoever it was, most likely only had the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses. Really, he had only the first course, dear friends, the soup. And the best courses were yet to come that he didn't know about. Oh, how he would have rejoiced, this writer of Psalms, and having the main course, the wonderful Gospels of Jesus Christ, and the epistles as the dessert. You would see this man would have been overcome. "Wow," he said, "I didn't know all about this." And he didn't know about this. Having the Bible at his fingertips. And if he had the whole lot, he would have been overcome. Dear friends, this Bible is not just a book. It's God's inspired word, which we call the Bible. And the same God and the same book that spoke to those who started this church back in 1967 and each decade ever since and is speaking to us today in 2022, the power of God's word never changes, dear friends. As one writer says, surely we are to be condemned if we don't prize the word of God. Fourthly and finally, it's always good when the minister says that, isn't it? Fourthly and finally, write this down. The word satisfies my soul. The word satisfies my soul. Dear friends, many people don't know the satisfaction the Bible brings because they don't treasure it in their hearts. And even Christians sometimes don't read the Bible every day. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The Bible satisfies us and nourishes our hearts. I wonder how many homes have got a Bible on their desk in a bookcase and gathers dust, and it's only brought out on special occasions or when the minister turns up. They never read it. If they do, well, just on a special occasion. What has brought gratification to our hearts must be shared with others, dear friends. As we read the Bible, as we receive blessings from God, we must give to others. That's what has happened in this church many years ago. People came to know Christ in this church and they've shared it with others. And that's why you're here today. They've received and they gave. And when we read God's word, we read of Jesus Christ, God's Son, dying for our sins on the cross. And our sins have been forgiven. When we read of him being raised from the dead so that we can too be raised, it gratifies our soul. This is all in the Bible. When we read the reading of the Holy Spirit, as Steve was praying, coming and indwelling every believer and sent by the Savior to teach us and help us, where do we find the Holy Spirit? In the Bible. Dear friends, we certainly should have an attitude of gratitude when we know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Oh, may we receive as the psalmist did as he centered on the Scriptures. If only the Bible was as popular as we looked on there as our mobile phones. Now, we do have Bibles on our mobile phones today. The phone rings and we answer. Oh, we've got to send a text to somebody. Haven't got time to read the Bible. Got to be texting. We get on our computers and tablets, and I do it too, dear friends. Instead of in it for minutes or maybe hours a day, we're working on our computers and we're looking up things and that. And yet we struggle to find time to read God's Word for just a few minutes a day. Dear friends, may the Bible be the book we most read. May we learn from its principles that we are to live by, principles that are given to us by God, our Creator. And dear friends, as men and women and boys and girls have come under the sound of the gospel in this church for over many years, God spoke to them and they became a part of this church family. They read God's word. They lived by its principles. They went and shared the Savior with those, and this church continues on and will continue on with two godly pastors to lead you. May we too have the love for God's word. May it always be faithfully preached from the pulpit, which I know it will be, here each Sunday. And may we use it as a lamp and a light for our daily walk through the journey of life. And may we taste it, and may it be sweeter than honey in our mouth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word that teaches us all the truths that you want us to know. Help us, Lord, not to twist it around to fit to our way of thinking, but to believe what it says as your truth. And we thank you, Lord, for John and Steve and their wives and the elders and the deacons of this church who are faithful followers of you, ones who preach your word faithfully. Bless them abundantly, Lord. Watch over each member of the family here. May you guide them and direct them. May they keep their eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our salvation. And we thank you, Lord, for the time we've had with them. Pray for your blessing upon them. And may you guide us, each one, in the days ahead, that we will follow the right path, the path of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you in his name. Amen.